God, are you ready to get into the Word today?
Let me pray. Father God, help me this morning, God. Help me to wrap my mind around your Word. Help me to communicate it in a loving and generous manner. God, help me to be transparent with my own life. And God, I pray we would all be challenged and to go deeper in this area, this topic of choice today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We've been in a series of messages here at our church entitled Fearless, and we've been touching along the lines of all these different areas that from infant stages of Christianity to people who've been Christian for 20 years, there's areas of our life where we need to be living fearless in. And so we've been learning how to be fearless with our worship to God and by saying yes to Him and being fearless with our faith, believing and trusting God for big things and believing that we can overcome some things. And so today, I'm going to be talking about fearless generosity. We're going to be talking about generosity today. And I already know, some of you, right when I said the word, you think I'm going to talk about tithing and money. And that's so small on the scale of generosity. It would be doing disservice if that's all I talked about. So hopefully today you can see that generosity is way bigger than money. It's a lifestyle. It's a life choice. And it's something that we should be fearless living in. And we're going to deal with that today. And my belief is this, that you can't really be a Christian and not be generous. It's impossible. And the reason why I say that is because God is the most generous thing, person that has ever existed. And if we're to be like Him, we cannot be not generous. It's like saying like, we don't love people, but we're like Christians. We're like Christ, but we don't love people. It just doesn't go hand in hand. Like, He's all about love, so you can't not love if you're trying to be all about Him. He's all about giving. God is a giving God. He gave His life. He's given us so much. He's so rich in mercy. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us a way into heaven. He's given us the ability to share in His glory. He's given us a second chance. Some of us in this room know what it's like to be given a second chance. He gave that to you. He's been generous. Generosity is not something you have to do. It's something you choose to do out of the kindness of your heart. No one can force you to be generous. No one could twist your arm and make you be a giver. Generosity is not something that can be manipulated. You can't manipulate people into being generous. You can manipulate people to give to one instance, but you can't manipulate people to be generous with their life. Generosity is a life choice. You can put a sad movie on the television and people will give to kids in Africa, but that's not generosity. That's an emotional move, or you felt bad about the situation, so you did something. God didn't feel bad about us and loved us. It was in Him to be generous with His love, with His life, with all He created with us. And generosity is not something that you can fabricate. You either have it or you don't. And it's definitely a muscle that you have to work out, because you got to start somewhere. Someone say amen. So today we're going to be talking about generosity, and I want you to understand that as a Christian, it's part of our nature to be a generous person. We have a saying that we say here, it's actually on the envelopes that we write our offering on, is we live to give and we love to give. We live to give and we love to give. If that's not an attitude of your life, you haven't reached generosity yet. Living to give and loving to give displays an attitude of a generous person. Christ lived to give, and He loved to give. He lived His life to die, and He loved to do it. Did you catch that? God sent His Son to earth to live 33 years of life, knowing that He would die somewhere, sacrificing Himself for people who hated Him, and He lived to do it, and He loved to do it. The Bible says it gave Him great pleasure to lay down His life for us. He lived to give, and He loved to give. And as a Christian, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be a Christ follower, the attitude of our lives should be we live to give, and we love to give. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about with life, with knowledge. There's no secret recipe that we're trying to keep hidden. There's no special thing that I have to myself that I don't want no one else to have. That's not the attitude of a Christian. We're living to give and we love to give. We're living to let our life reflect Christ, that other people may know Him. We're not just living as a Christian for ourselves, hiding in a closet, and we don't want no one else to know about Jesus. No, we live for Jesus and we love to give Him away. We're living to give and we love to give. We look for opportunities to bless other people's lives. We look for opportunities to help people advance. We look for opportunities to help marriages get better and help people become better parents and help people be smarter with their money and help people get through divorce and help people get through all these things off addictions. We live for those moments and we love to do it. We love reaching people who are stubborn, stiff-necked, and don't want to hear it. We live to do that, and we love to do it. We live to love the people who make fun of us and persecute us. We live to give, and we love to give. It's part of the fabric of my Christ nature, living to give and loving to give. And if that phrase makes you feel uncomfortable, you're probably really stingy. If you don't live to give, and if you don't love to give, it really reveals your heart, and you're probably really stingy. We're going to talk about that today because there's nothing worse than a stingy person. Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 24 says this in the Message translation. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You know, this is a segment of scripture that I think over the years of my life has become more and more, it made more and more sense. You know, I know for myself, I don't know about anyone else in this room, but I grew up a stingy kid. Stingy. I had two older sisters, and they were very mean to me. They would tie me up with nylons and lock me out the house and unplug the phone when I was talking on that. Remember where you could do that? You just unplug it. You can't do that no more because you got a cell phone. You can't make me hang up, but they just unplug the phone or get on it on the other phone and talk. Get off the phone. Mom said I could use the phone. I'm on the phone. You're having a conversation with someone in your house on the phone. Remember those days? And I grew up kind of I grew up poor. I was a poor kid, a welfare kid. My mom did the best she could. She ended up going to college and getting her degree and became an occupational therapist assistant. So we got off welfare. But my mom was a single mom working waitress jobs all across Flaky Jake's. There was a Flaky Jake's here, Sizzler. You know, just all the places. My mom, you know, JB's restaurant, all these places. My mom was a waitress at all these places, and she tried her best to provide for me and my sisters. And growing up poor, I don't know if it's just me, maybe it's just me. I'm just talking about me. But I really felt like anything I got, I didn't want no one to mess it up. Because I felt like that's all I got. No, you cannot borrow my shirt. No, you cannot wear my shoes. No, you cannot borrow my game because it might be my only game. And if you take that only game, then I'll have no games. So I grew up very stingy. No one forced stinginess upon me. My mom was probably the mom told me, no, son, you need to share. And I'd be like, uh-uh, share? What share? I grew up real stingy. Carried over into my life as I got older. And if you're a stingy person, when you acquire more things, it brings out more stinginess. So if you're stingy with $5, when you get $5,000, you become more stingy. And so, you know, at 18 years old, I start cutting hair. I start making a significant amount of money in Seattle. And it brings out that I'm more stingy. Like, I don't need to buy just one pair of shoes. I need to buy three pairs of the exact same color. Because I wanted to make sure that when one pair ran out, I had another pair because it was my favorite shoe. So I literally bought three pairs of the exact same shoe. Stingy. People wanted some food and I'd be like, oh man, you know, okay man, I'll buy food for you this time. But next time, you gotta stingy. And you know, what's interesting is a lot of people won't admit that they're stingy. They'll try to justify their actions by a couple nice gestures. But really, even in those nice gestures, you really didn't want to do the nice gesture. You just did it because you didn't want to look bad. I remember doing that too. Like not wanting to look bad or doing it because I want to impress people. So see what I've acquired. So I'll act generous so people think I'm a nice guy. But really on the inside, I'm really not nice. And, you know, if God asked me for money, oh, no, you're not getting my money. And, you know, if someone wanted me to come help, no, I'm not coming to help. And I got other things I've got to do. Because generosity just doesn't stem in the things you acquire. Generosity is also developed in your time and your talents and your knowledge, what you possess, being generous. You know, in business earlier on, I own my own business and I've cut hair for many, many years. And early on in business, probably like year one, year two, if someone ever asked me to teach them how to cut hair, I would say, I would, but I'm not going to teach you like teach you. I'm not going to teach you to be as good as me, because I'm worried that if I teach you to be as good as me, then you'll steal my business. And now you'll be making money and I won't make as much. And now here I am 12 years later, 13 years later, and my attitude is completely flip-flop, where I want as many people to know anything that I know, however much I know it. I don't want any secret recipes. I don't want anything of myself to go, well, this is just me, and this is me, and okay, no, this is the way I do ministry. No one can know how I do ministry. This is what I do. I lead worship. No one else can lead worship. This is how much money I make. No one else can have none of that, because I've worked hard for this. You don't understand. I had to start the business. No one was there when I risked everything to start the business. No one was there when I started it all. No, people have all kinds of excuses about why they're not generous, why they can't give something away. But this scripture that says the world of the generous gets larger and larger and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller, the older I get, it makes more sense. The older I get, I recognize that the more you give away, the more you give of yourself, the more you give away your knowledge and ability, the more your attitude is to help other people, the more your attitude is to build and advance other people, the more your attitude is no longer about what you can acquire, what you can dream up, what you can get for yourself, how nice of car, how nice of house that you can get to impress people. When your attitude gets past that and you become a generous person with your life, understanding that it's not going to rob me of my life if I give something away. It's actually going to build my life. I will be more enriched by it because other people, I'm leaving a legacy instead of dying with everything that I possess. A greedy person dies with everything they've acquired. All the knowledge that they acquire just dies with them. All the amount of wealth they acquire just dies with them. All the financial success or marriage success or whatever the area, their time, their talent, their ability just dies with them. Mom's secret recipe that she didn't want to teach nobody died with her. But a generous person leaves a legacy that lasts way beyond their life. A generous person leaves something that lasts for eternity. A generous person leaves something that other people can pick up and run with and be better about in the future. A generous person looks past their own needs and looks to the needs of others and builds something great and amazing. Turn with me. Are you at Mark? Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read. Lord, help us. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17 through 22. This is a story of a rich young man, the Bible says. And it says this in verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "And why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Here's the first point I want to give to you. Generosity says it's not about me. Stinginess says I'm all that matters. See, this young rich ruler, when he asked the question to Jesus, he comes with, "What must I do? What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus gives him the list. You know the commandments. You don't steal, you don't kill, you don't lie. He starts listing the Ten Commandments. And the guy goes, "I've done that. I've done that since I was young. I've done that." See, the attitude of a stingy person is, it's all about me. I've done that. I served. I read that scripture. I went through that class. I've done that. I've worked really hard. I've got the money. I've built the house. I acquired this for my family. I got off of drugs. The attitude of a stingy is all about I. It's all about me. But the attitude of the generous is all about others. See, this one quality that Jesus was pointing out in this young rich ruler was it's all about you, young rich ruler. It's all about you. I go to church. I take my kids. I do my part as a parent. I'm raising my kids. I'm doing this. When the focus is all about I, you miss the whole purpose of generosity. And Jesus was trying to point out this subtle thing that a lot of us would overlook because we go, oh, I'm not rich, so that doesn't apply to me. Jesus isn't dealing with money, because if you keep reading on that scripture, this is what the disciples say. Well, then who in the world can be saved? The reason why they say that who in the world can be saved, because at this time, mostly everybody that was in a place of power or position was rich. Financial blessing was upon the land. So they're saying, well, if everyone's got money, who can be saved then? Because everyone got money. Everyone's got talent. Everyone's got ability. Everyone's got life. Everyone's got jobs. Everyone's got kids. Well, if everyone's got it, who in the world can be saved? Jesus goes on to say later on that scripture, you know, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Basically, what he's pointing out to this young rich ruler is, are you generous? Is it about others or is it about you? Is everything you do in the church about you, about your ministry, about your giftings, or is it really geared towards others? So much so that you would love to build someone that could be better than you at what you do. Is it about you or is it about others? When you give in the offering, is it just so you can go, I gave an offering. I did that. I tithe. I'm a tither. Amen. Hallelujah. Or is it about change the city, God? Use this to build others. Use this to do. The backpack giveaway is not about us. It's about others. Everyone's going, well, why would you give it away for free? Why? What? How? What do I have to do? Are you sure? Yes. Why? Because it's about others. We want to be generous because God was generous with us. We want to tangibly be generous with other people. This young rich ruler gets this question asked to him. And basically he says he walks away with his head down low because he had acquired so much. Do you know how many people have acquired so much of something? Maybe not money. Maybe they've acquired so much of family and their family is just so close together. But it's so close together, no one else can get in it. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time you invited someone who wasn't family to a family function? Well, one thing I've always loved is my mother-in-law during Christmas and Thanksgiving would always invite someone that doesn't have a family in town to come hang with us. And they would get gifts just like everybody else. And they would be blown away at, why would someone invite me over? It was one thing just to have me over just so I had somewhere to go. But it's another thing to give me gifts. Because I didn't show up with one. I wasn't expecting to get one. See, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy, if it would have been me, I would have said, just my family. I'm just being honest with you. Because sometimes it's all about what you build. It's all about what you possess. It's all about what you acquire. That's why it's hard for people to give in the offering. That's why it's hard when God challenges you, because you feel like, I worked hard for this. I earned this. I put 80 hours in. I have this skill. I figured this thing out. I started the business. When it's all about you, you will never be generous. When it's all about others, you will live to give and you will love to give. Generosity says, I'm blessed. Stinginess says, I'm not yet, but when I get there, I'll give. Generosity says, I'm blessed. Stinginess says, I'm not yet, but when I get there, I'll give. Have you ever noticed that most people are always waiting for something to happen before they ever do anything? Well, you know,
My marriage isn't that great, so how can I help someone else in their marriage? You can help them by pointing out why yours is so bad. Now, no one wants to point out why their marriage is bad. No one got an amen on that. Well, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but if I had a lot of money, then I would do. I don't have a lot of time, you know. I do all kinds of stuff with my life, you know. I work 6 days a week. I don't have a lot of time to serve other people. If I just had more time, then all. See, generosity says, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Let me show you what generosity looks like in Scripture. But generosity says, I'm blessed already. Some of you going, you don't know my life. You don't know that I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm going to tell you, you're blessed. You got a paycheck. Well, you don't know what it's like for me because, you know, all my family abandoned me and I'm living with a friend right now. You're blessed. You have a friend to live with. Well, you don't know I'm at the mission. You're blessed. You have a mission to live at. See, being blessed is not about how much you have. It's what you have. But see, when you're focused on how much you have, you live in the land of Stygia. Well, you don't understand. I got too much time because I coach and I do this and I do that. You're blessed. You're blessed because you have a team to coach. You're blessed because you have a voice to young people. You're blessed because God allows you to breathe and live. You're blessed because you're not in the grave. You're blessed. You're blessed if you have a $20 an hour job or minimum wage job or getting money from the state. You're blessed. Being blessed isn't depending on a status. See, that's where we miss it. Sometimes we think blessing means I have to have this in order to be blessed. I live on the east side, so I'm not as blessed as the person on the west side. No, that's not true. You're as blessed as much as you feel that you're blessed. Watch this. This is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. And this is out of the Message translation. It says this. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed the hillside, and those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions, and this is what he says. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God in his rule. Did you catch that? You're blessed when you're at the end, when everyone gave up on you, when you don't have no money. When the bills are due and you don't know how you're going to get it. When all your friends talk bad about you. Because at that moment you recognize it's not about me. It's about him. And you're blessed because your attention can be put on him and no longer about you. And your pity party about this and this and that. And we all throw pity parties. Listen to me. Some of you would throw pity parties about your job. Some of you throw pity parties about your friends. We all of us in this room have temper tantrums sometimes. But those temper tantrums, when we're at the end, should point us back to God and go, I'm blessed. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you embrace the one most dear to you. Well, my husband left me. You're blessed. How can you say that? How can you say that? I'm blessed. My marriage is failing. I know. You're blessed. Because blessing isn't based on success in your relationship. The success happens when you understand how blessed you are. The fact that you didn't know you were blessed sometimes makes you miss out on what's most important, and it makes everything else go to waste. How can you say that to me? I've lost it all. My business failed. You're blessed. How am I blessed? Because when you've lost what's most dear to you, only then can you embrace the one most dear to you. It takes the focus off of you and puts the focus back on him. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Don't let anyone tell you you're not blessed because you don't have a nice car, or you don't live in a nice house, or you haven't acquired the things that some other people acquired. You can be more blessed than people that have all that stuff. Amen. You're blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. His food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, F-U-L-L, you find yourself cared full. Did you see that? At the moment you're careful, when you actually care about other people, you find yourself being cared for. You can't do that when you're stingy. You can't care about other people's needs, because when you're stingy, all you care about is your needs. You know what's interesting is I've seen some of the most financial bankrupt people be the most givers I know. I've seen people who have hardly anything in their cupboards, and they found out someone didn't have any food, and they took some of what they had left and gave it away. Why, some of us got pantries full, and we would go, isn't there some organization that can help you? You are the organization. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you know there is technically no need for a mission? Let me break this down to you. If the church was a church, there would be no need for the Union Gospel Mission. There'd be no need. If the church was just generous, there'd be no need to set up an organization for people to be generous through. You and me should be the Union Gospel Mission. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 2. It says, when the church first erupted, they sold everything and shared everything together, and no one was in need. You know what they said? Jesus, you gave me your life. I'm choosing to live to give, and I love to give. The attitude was no longer about how nice a car I can get, how big a house I can get. Matter of fact, they were trying to find ways to downsize in order to help other people upsize. See, some of that, we don't like that kind of preaching. Because then it makes us really have to evaluate a heart check. You're blessed when you get inside your world, your mind, your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Now look, some of you will misquote that verse and be like, people don't like. No, look, it's when your commitment to God brings persecution. So you're a giver and now they hate that you're a giver. Not they don't like the way you acted at work. That has nothing to do with your commitment to God. That has everything to do, you're just weird. When your commitment to God brings persecution, when you love people and they persecute you, when you do good to those that are despitefully use you and it brings persecution, when you're being generous with your life and it brings persecution, it drives us deeper into God's kingdom. And it says this in verse 11 and 12. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. Do you notice it wasn't about them? When people put you down to discredit him. Someone's putting you down, but it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. This verse doesn't apply to you. If it's to discredit God, then it says, what it means is the truth is too close to comfort for them and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds, and you know you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Basically, when you stand and live and committed for God and people persecute you because of your commitment to God, you can count on all joy. You're blessed. You're blessed that you got people that hate you because you're like Jesus. You're blessed. You're blessed because people making fun about you because you're not going to live in that addiction. You're blessed. You're blessed because all your friends left you because you made some choices to live for God. You're blessed. You're blessed. Generosity says, I'm blessed. Generosity doesn't wait for something to happen before they can go, I'm blessed now. Generosity isn't waiting for the lotto ticket to come before they can go, I can give now. Generosity says, where my life is, I'm content with who I am right now. Whether I live in an apartment, a duplex, the mission, a house on it, where I'm at right now, I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, I will be generous. Stinginess says, I'm not yet, but when I get there, then I'll give. Jordan, you got to come, man, because I got a lot more notes. The truth is, my life was forever changed by the generosity of others.
My life was forever changed by the generosity of others. And I didn't really see every little detail until God started putting this message in my heart months ago that it really made me look at all the things that really happened in my life that helped change and make me something different. And I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't a giver. I wasn't there giving everything, but people were giving for me. I mean, there were people that were serving and shaking my hand when I walked through the door to make me feel like I was accepted, and teaching me and serving, and by teaching a Sunday school lesson that they didn't get paid to teach, but they were there giving their time to help shape and forge me. And different small groups that were happening throughout the church, people opening up their homes, spending their money for food to feed the people that came in. Someone was generous with my life. There was a man who was so generous, my pastor, Pastor Brian Dahlman, so generous in my life that he opened up his marriage, he opened up his finances, he opened up his thoughts about ministry, and he said, I want to share them with you. He didn't go, you know, I remember going to his house and he had this big, beautiful home, and here I am in this little duplex that the living room was, the house was probably as small as a stage, probably smaller. And I remember I went to his house and his house was pristine. I mean, the most modern, contemporary colors, super nice, in a nice neighborhood. And he looked at me, he's like, man, you can have this. Not that that would have made me, but just share, this is how I did it. You can share this. I want to share this because things in my life, because I grew up poor, because I grew up a certain way, made me think that those kinds of things weren't an option for me. A good marriage wasn't an option for me. Staying around and being a good dad wasn't an option for me. I didn't know that, but someone was generous with my life. Was generous with their life. There was a lady at this church where we went to, and I remember me and my wife as a young couple. I was just moved back into town. My business hadn't started yet, but there was this lady, an old lady, who worked at McDonald's probably 5 to 10 hours a week. She'd catch the bus. And there was this youth camp that was coming up, and that old lady paid for me and my wife to go. And I know that all those hours that she worked, it probably was her whole check. And at that camp, my life was forever changed because someone else was generous with, she said, I'm blessed. She didn't make an excuse of why she didn't have enough money to pay for it. She didn't come up with some idea about, well, if I just had more money, then I'd help a family out. No, she said, I'm blessed. And because she already understood the level of blessing that God was on her life, she said, let me extend this to some kids that I don't know what's going to happen with them. I don't know if they'll ever change, but something inside of me says, I want to be generous. I live to give and I love to give. And other people came into my life since that day, helped me learn how to be smarter with my money, and helped me to be a good dad, and helped me to make good financial decisions, and helped me to gave me opportunity to be a leader in what they were doing. My pastor was the pastor, and he let me preach. He was a paid staff member. I was just a volunteer. He let me preach once a month, and I got to come up with all kinds of creative ideas that helped shape a generation. He didn't have to share that with me, but what he was saying was, son, I want you to do this, and I want you to be better than me. Matter of fact, just this Easter, he talked about, I had so many people, 1,100 people, 1,200 people come to church this week. How many end up showing up? I said, 1,000. I said, I'm going to catch you. He goes, you should pass me. He says, I would be unhappy if you just caught me. You should pass me. Not trying to withhold. Not worried about who gets the recognition. Not worried about if they, I hope when he gets that church that they know that I was the one that helped him. No hidden motives. No hidden intentions. Generous with my life. Some of you, someone's been generous with you. In this church, giving their time, getting here early to shake your hand, to make you feel loved, to cook, to make you a coffee that you drink for free, to purchase things in this building that you sit on and that you walk on, and to work with your kids and to love on your children. Someone's being generous with their life. They don't have to. And to be honest, everyone that's doing it isn't doing it because they're generous. They're doing it because I work with the kids. I shake hands at the door. Still all about them. We don't want that in our church. We want a people who say, I don't care who gets the credit. I just want to love Jesus. And I want as many people to know him in a real and tangible way. See, generosity says, I'm thankful and I will prove it with all that I have. Generosity says, I'm thankful and I'll prove it with all that I have. I got so much to say. I've got to end with this because my wife's going to kill me. Generosity says, I'm thankful with all that I have. Some people who fight against tithing or fight against serving or fight against helping in the community or fight against doing good to people or fight against sharing their life with people that are truly stingy, even though they wouldn't call themselves stingy. People who won't do it, it just really shows you're not thankful. The truth is, Jesus changed my life so much. So much. My marriage shouldn't have worked. I shouldn't have been a good dad. There's no reason why I should be standing before you teaching you this kind of stuff. I can look at so many areas of my life and go, I shouldn't have made it. But God. Tithing? Are you serious? Like I'm worried about 10%? He changed my life. He took someone who had no chance and gave him every chance. Some of you, your marriage should be done a long time ago, but God stepped in. Some of you, you wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have kicked that drug, but God stepped in. Some of you, you had no hope, but God stepped in. And generosity isn't a chore. It's my life. I'm forever indebted to God. So everything that I do will be to live to give and to love to give. Because I want someone else to know that just like God did with this punk kid, he can do it for them. I want someone else to know that their marriage can make it because mine was destroyed. I want someone else to know that they can be a good dad because I didn't have a dad. I want someone else to know that they can be changed if they just give God a chance. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I acquired. I'll freely give it all away. That's why this big backpack giveaway, where some of us already thought about, well, I'll just buy one. You missed it. It's about living to give and loving to give. If you can just close your eyes and bow your heads.